Blog Talk Radio.
Introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Joe. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. We got a very important guest is on tonight's show. This gentleman here knows exactly what's going on in communist China. He knows how it is to be silenced, and he made a movie called Unsilenced about a group of teenagers that was being silenced by the Communist Party and preventing them from doing what their thing is. And let me introduce you to the director of the movie Unsilenced, Leon Lee. How you doing, Leon?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Great. You know, your movie is riveting, and it's perfect timing between the Olympics and everything else and what's going on. And they tried to silence a Dutch reporter the other day in the Olympics. So everything that's out there is perfect, perfect timing for your film. Can you explain to our audience a little about you and the film?
Sure. Unsilenced is based on real-life events when the Chinese Communist regime launched a brutal crackdown against 100 million citizens, a team of innocent students, and a jaded American reporter come together to counter the government's propaganda. We had our theatrical release in the United States, and we will be releasing it in Canada on February 25th.
I know you released the movie this past week here in the States. In fact, it's playing down here in South Florida in a couple of theaters in Davie, for one thing. And we saw it, Scarlett and I, and it is so riveting. And it's and how they try to silence these kids, including torture and death. It shows exactly what's going on. And people didn't, they were hiding it and everything until they finally got the information out.
Right. It's no secret that the human rights record in China is abysmal. Unfortunately, with the Olympics coming, it is used as a pretext for the CCP to round up political dissidents. For example, I want to mention a case. The woman's name is Xu Na. She was sentenced to 8 years in prison about 10 days before the Olympics were to start. And her husband were rounded up leading up to the 2008 Beijing Olympics. And he died in police custody. Now, both of them are Falun Gong practitioners. So this is a typical case on the human cost of hosting the games in China.
And it's not being told because, look, we're back where we started from again with the Olympics going on now and the human rights. In fact, our own government here is basically telling the Olympians and the American press to bow to Xi and to the Chinese communists and not to say a damn thing because of reprisals and arrest.
Right. I mean, the athletes train so hard. So typically, you know, I would want to celebrate with them, celebrate their achievement and their excellence. But at the same time, we need to know why the CCP wanted to host the games. It goes far beyond sports, right? For them, they want the limelight. They want to demonstrate domestically and internationally that what they're doing is acceptable. So this only fuels the CCP's aggression towards its own people and globally.
And that needs to be explained. Again, the movie is timed, perfectly timed. And the ingenuity of the students in the movie to get the information out at all costs is really tells a story. And I'm sure there are a lot more people in communist China that want to do exactly the same. Correct?
Absolutely. I was really moved when I talked to Wang, who was the hero that we based our story on. And because, you know, there are over 2,000 newspapers, hundreds of TV stations in China, they're all under the strict control of the CCP. The department was named the Department of Propaganda, but then they realized that's not the best name, so they changed it to Department of Publicity. But it's very difficult to get your voices heard in China because all media is controlled by the government. So the students devised creative ways. For example, they would print leaflets, they would distribute them hand by hand, or they would actually use balloons to disseminate information. And I was really encouraged by their courage to do things like this. And you're absolutely right that many more people in China are doing this every day, trying to tell their fellow citizens what's really going on.
You know, I'll tell you, and Unsilenced is not the first movie you did about exposing what's going on in China. You did other movies, correct?
Well, I hope there were a lot more movies. I've done some, you know, movies exposing the human rights atrocities in China before, and I know some people who are also doing similar work. But there hasn't been really anything major from Hollywood for current human rights issues in China. And under, you know, you wonder why, right? China officially surpassed the United States as the largest box office in the world. And Hollywood is really just trying to sell their movies to China, and they're not really in the business to expose the atrocities in China.
Same thing with sports, with basketball and other things. It's like China controls everything. And the monies that are being made for all this stuff is going to the Chinese to continue to suppress and mutilate. And that's the key word, mutilate, because in Unsilenced, they literally mutilate people in torture if you go against them. like they did to the young girl.
Right, right. We actually had to dial back when depicting torture in this film because we don't want it to be too much for the audience. What really happens in China is even far worse than what was depicted in the film. And the other thing I want to mention is for a long time, we may think that, you know, the human rights situation in China is bad, but it's far away from us. Maybe it's not really connected to our daily lives here in the West. But now I think we know better. Imagine if in the beginning of the pandemic, the CCP was more transparent. Instead of censoring the doctor, you know, Li Wenliang, who was the whistleblower on this, if they worked with the international community in a more transparent way, then perhaps we wouldn't be in such a catastrophe worldwide. So
I think,
censorship.
I think it was done on purpose. Yeah.
I think it was done from the West and created in China, and Wuhan was the test center for this. I think it was all about taking out President Trump from being the president. That's my kind of thought.
Right.
And they used it any which way they could to win an election, even steal it. So
that's because the tariffs, I believe, that's why they were responding to.
Sorry.
Right. There is certainly a dispute on the origin of the virus, but what's not in dispute, I think, is that the CCP knows about the virus, and they did not let the world know in a timely manner, and now we face this pandemic. So when we talk about censorship in China, we talk about the human rights record in China. It actually has a huge impact on our way of life here in the West.
You know, I tell you, what's happening around the country, around the world these days, with the mandates and everything else, this is right out of the textbook of the CCP and the Communist China playbook. Was just following suit. They're doing maybe in a lighter mold as far as torture is concerned, but we're getting there in some cases. All you have to do is look what's going on with the J6, the prisoners there. These are the same type of tortures that's happening in D.C. for these people as they were in the movie, except in the movie it was a lot worse. So I think we're learning from them.
Right. Well, at least from the CCP's point of view, they consider Western democracy, in particular the United States, as an existential threat to the CCP. So they had a long-term plan for the West, and it's not a good plan, right? So I think we need to be clear on what the CCP's goal is worldwide, and devise policies to counter that. Otherwise, the CCP will continue its aggression, and it is no exaggeration to say that our way of life here is in danger.
That's why we need more movies like Unsilenced to come out and do more of what you're doing so we can expose what's going on in China. And people like, I know Hong Kong, before China took over from them, they were not too happy. And now they're getting the same type of control mechanism in Hong Kong as they do in China. And now China's spreading towards Taiwan and other disputed areas. And this is where the big fight is going to be.
Right, right. So, I'm very glad to learn the audience feedback in the U.S. I was told that many screenings ended in standing ovation. And people have been sending
yes.
us lots of messages telling us essentially how important they think this film is for them to understand, number one, what's going on in China, number two, what to watch for right here at home. So to piggyback on what you said, I think this does serve the purpose on telling people, you know, what could happen if we're not careful.
It is happening. What's going on in China in this movie, it actually exposes everything. and just think, and you calm down some of you soften the torture down so that what you see, even though it's hardcore in the movie, it wasn't as hardcore as in reality it could be. And in real life, so it's even worse than what it is from the movie point to real life. The real life is even worse than what the movie is, and I'll tell you. And at the end, when the information came out and everything, and we saw what's going out, the point is, we need to expose that. And in the theaters that had this movie so far, every place we talked to them that saw it had the same thing. It just said it was standing ovation. We need to go into more theaters, not just selective, but all over. And people got to watch it and learn exactly what's inside of China right now and why these Olympics. I'll tell you, we should not be in China doing the Olympics right now at all. Because all you do is making money for the people that are destroying life.
You know, I was surprised that the Olympic Committee allowed it. And they just closed their eyes. Okay?
Mr. Lee, how can our listeners find you and see where we can get the movie?
If you go to unsilencedmovie.com, there is a list of theaters that's still playing unsilenced. I know that some theaters extended their showtimes. And if you subscribe to our newsletter on the website, you'll be the first to know when we expand to more theaters or when it's available online. So unsilencedmovie.com.
Okay, and how is Mr. Wang?
He is, settled in the U.S. with his family. He got a very good job. And as a matter of fact, he texted me yesterday telling me, some of his friends saw the film and they were really moved. So I think he's doing well. But I have to say that he suffers from severe PTSD. Eight long years in a Chinese prison. This is not easy life.
No. And can you explain our listening audience the type of life it is to be in a Chinese prison?
Well, it's harsh. And in Wang's case, for example, he was placed into solitary confinement for years. And typically people would, go crazy after some time, and that's what they wanted to do to him, and nobody was allowed, even the guard wasn't allowed to talk to him. But this is something that really amazed me. One day the guard just came to deliver food to him, and he casually mentioned, it's close to New Year now, right? And the guard was in shock, because how could he still possibly tell time? The entire prison was mobilized, investigating who told him this, right? But it turns out nobody told him. He was observing from the shadow on the wall and trying to tell dates based on the position of the sun. So then he's able to tell, it's close to the new year now. After this incident, the prison decided to let him out of solitary confinement. They realized they can never break him.
Now, in some of the torture that went on in the movie, like when they beat the crap out of the girl and stuff, it looked like they made sure she would never get pregnant or anything like that. That's the type of torture they do to women, correct?
Yes. Unfortunately, sexual abuse is used as a form of torture for women in many Chinese prisons or other detention centers. And on top of that, we know there's also organ harvesting, where they kill prisoners of conscience for their organs. And I actually made a documentary on that subject matter. It's called Human Harvest. And it's not only limited to Falun Gong practitioners. Uyghurs, Tibetans, house church members, political dissidents, in the hundreds of thousands. So all in all, it's a miracle that he survived. He is doing well. The prison did not kill him and did not break him. And he is continuing his efforts to tell the world what happened.
And let us know.
And he's loved by his wife and his children.
Right,
so
and the people.
That does a lot of greatness.
And I'm telling you, he's going to get a lot. He's getting a lot of love from all the people that watch this movie, and support. So that's important there. We also learned that they go to these schools and they have the so-called woman or man, whoever, a teacher or professor or whoever that's supposed to be there from the Communist Party to basically indoctrinate the kids into their learning and teach them not to, you know, basically hurt everybody else. Similar to what they're doing in this country with CRT, it's the same idea. They kind of brainwash the kids. And it was kind of depicted in the movie a little bit, correct?
Right. I grew up in China, and I experienced it firsthand, you know, starting from when you were very, very young. The textbooks, the teachers, the brainwashing started. And in each school, there will be a party secretary, you know, who ranks even higher than your school principal. So their job is to carry out the party policies, and especially in schools, they want to make sure that the kids, since they were very young, started to, we were told, you know, we should love the party the same way we love our parents. And the party represents China. The party represents the people. But now, of course, we know it's quite the contrary, right? That the party is the number one enemy of the people. So it was a quite painful process for me to wake up and to break all these brainwashing. And that's part of the reason I wanted to make films like this, to help my fellow Chinese people to also see through the CCP's lies.
This way they don't get indoctrinated into their propaganda. And so they know the truth, and they yes them to death, and they're safe. Does that make sense?
Right. I mean, if people see through the CCP's lies, I think, of course, they will have a much better understanding of what really what's going on, which on a practical level will also guide their day-to-day actions. You know, I think there are many examples of people blindly trusting the CCP and realized, okay, that's not a good idea.
So they are standing up. This is not just the film and stuff like that, but there are still a lot of people in China that are standing up to them, a young crowd and stuff, like a resistance type of movement.
If you are a tourist, if you go to China, you can hardly notice anything going on because the party has such a sophisticated propaganda machine and security apparatus. But beneath the surface, many people are doing what they can to spread the information. I often talk about the a website where the Chinese people can go to basically announce that they quit the CCP, they quit the affiliated organizations such as the Youth League or the Young Pioneers. Last time I checked, over 380 million people in China have gone onto this website. Some would use their real names, some use an alias to announce that they quit the party. So that's significant, because even if you use an alias, it still takes courage to do so. And these people are the seed. When the right time comes, I believe they will make the decision and change China forever.
When do you think it's the right time? Or what do you see as the right time in the near future?
Well, it's really hard to know, but if we look at the history, right, the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was nobody seemed to get a memo, you know, it's going to happen. But I think when enough people wake up and understand what's going on, that will tell their friends and family that, okay, we don't have to be afraid, you know, because more people know what's really going on. And then maybe something will happen. Maybe a small incident that nobody thought it's significant, but that would be the spark that really changes things. But at the end of the day, I feel that awareness is the key. All I can do, you know, as an independent filmmaker is to spread the word. And I hope everybody who have seen the film are inspired by Wong's story and do their part, even if it's just telling their friends and family. When enough people do that, I think we will see change.
Again, people outside of China see what China really is about. It would hurt China, okay? If the Western world, you know, gave enough publicity, because one article is not enough, but if you had enough of it, and the people started talking about it, and they were doing their social media on it, because I'm sure the people inside the regime are following it. So they would have to know everybody outside of their country is not happy with the way they're treating. And they do need the outside world for trade and industry. You know. So one hand, I feel, washes the other.
Are we facing another Tiananmen Square type situation in the near future?
I don't think it's going to be like that, because I think the people have learned even more effective ways. Because in 1989, of course, the students were courageous, but their demand was really, trying to appeal to the CCP and hoping that they would change. But nowadays, if you look at the 380 million people, they're not appealing to the CCP. They have quit. So I think it's a very different stance. So that's what really gives me hope.
So there is a chance we could topple Xi and change the government in some kind of future.
Although I don't know how it's going to unfold exactly, but there are a couple of things. One, I think the Chinese people will be the determining factor, right? If they have decided one day that this is enough, then there isn't much the CCP can do. Two, I think the West has a significant leverage over the CCP, contrary to what some of the China experts may say. Number one, a lot of CCP leaders, their relatives and their wealth are actually hidden in the West. And we know that the U.S., for example, has legal tools to sanction these people. It's a matter of political will, not political tool, right? And we know that the CCP is posing a significant threat to our way of life here in the West, whether it's economic espionage or it's political infiltration. So the West has no choice. It's not like, okay, let's just mind our own business, let China mind their business. It doesn't work that way. The CCP is striving to achieve global dominance. So the West has to do something. I think considering all these factors, it is time now that whoever got a chance to see the film or look into what's going on to do your part.
And that's what this radio show is all about. And we are trying to urge everybody to watch your movie and to wake up and be participating in all kinds of ways to free China and get rid of the CCP and Xi and freedom for the and have freedom for everyone around the world, not just China. But you know, we got to change a lot of things in this country to get the political will, because right now, the people that control the White House, his friends, is making millions in China. The Bidens, China, CCP owns the Bidens, literally, money-wise. Same thing with Obama, Pelosi, you know, the whole Democratic Party is all controlled by China right now. Trump was the only one that could have stopped China at the time, but we worked things out. He may be back in office in a short time, so because the American people
fed up. Drug trafficking that's coming through China, through Mexico,
fentanyl.
Through our border.
Fentanyl.
So, yes.
You know, and that's another big thing. So all that works, and they could, that's how it works. But what the main thing is, you expose, your film is exposed the tyranny, the torture
and the abuse
and abuse of what's going on to people that speak against the government and CCP and all that.
Well, the government was insecure with the Falun, with the people. It was pretty simple, okay, and it was enjoyable, and they didn't like the fact that there were a lot of people enjoying, and they made it out to be that it was bad. You know,
and the exercise,
they had no control over the people, and it was very insecure.
The type of mood and the exercise that these kids, the teenagers, were doing, they were against, and there was nothing to it, really.
There was nothing evil
behind
it. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Falun Gong is a Buddhist-based spiritual practice that consists of meditation, some gentle exercises, and the central tenets of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. So, very benign practice, no harm at all. As a matter of fact, the CCP supported and welcomed Falun Gong from 1992 all the way to 1999. So it is only the massive popularity of Falun Gong that made the former president Jiang Zemin, number one, you know, he felt threatened. Two, he felt, you know, jealous. And also the very idea of truth, compassion, tolerance is not what the CCP wants, because the CCP want what? They want violence and propaganda. So
they
want to
control
Absolutely, yes. And their plan was to eradicate Falun Gong within 3 months. But now, 20-something years later, the practitioners are still fighting for their rights in China. It's practiced worldwide. All legally except in mainland China.
And what can we do as after you watch the movie or listeners to this show do to get the word out and help out besides the movies? Is there any type of way of communicating to people in China to help them out, like an underground flow of monies or anything that they need to get in there to help these kids out and other people that resist the CCP?
I was told that some of my movies were among the most pirated political films in China. So, in that way, as a filmmaker, I'm happy to know that. We often receive emails from people in China who would bypass the firewall and send us a message telling us how moved they were by the stories and how they shared the film with many of their family and friends. So that's all really encouraging.
So that's a good thing. What we're going to do is we're going to push to my media friends this radio show and continue to mention the movie and get them to watch the movie so we get this going. You actually had in your movie, you had CNN involved. Are they still involved in some way?
Well, it was based on a real-life event. I believe a CNN reporter was on the scene during the self-immolation incident. At the very beginning of the incident, the government security forces rounded up all the reporters in Tiananmen Square, so nobody really saw what happened. And now we know that this is basically a staged event trying to defame Falun Gong. The practitioners, the people who set themselves on fire, according to a report from Washington Post, nobody have ever seen them practicing Falun Gong. And that's why we picked some of these real-life events when scripting for this movie.
Because in the movie you said that when that reporter realized that it was all staged, he knew it was fake. And then his partner or the woman they worked with him turned out to be a spy against him, really, betraying him. You know. So you can't trust anybody there.
Yes, it's not really no secret that foreign correspondents are under surveillance in China. And sometimes they realize that, sometimes they have no idea, but they're 100% under surveillance. And the people who work with them or the people they're trying to interview are also, you know, subject to control by the CCP. So it's very hard to get accurate information out of China.
Did you have the opportunity to meet with the with Daniel, the guy who wrote the newspaper article?
Daniel is actually a composite character.
Okay.
I interviewed over a dozen reporters who stationed in China, but in the end, I decided to do a composite character, which will combine all the experiences and put in this one person, so that it's more representative of what's really going on. And the other reason is that all these major publications, I did not secure release from them in using their actual names. So
I
have to use the Chicago Post.
But
I also you're going to protect them too, in case they're still in China.
Right.
You know, and here.
Yeah.
Because you really don't know who's who.
That's probably one of the major reasons why that Dutch reporter was grabbed the other day at the Olympics. Same reason.
Woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
We still don't know why. It was just the strangest thing.
But after we seen the movie, we knew why, actually. But that's the way China is. And your movie will, again, expose it, and that's a good thing. And it's great to see that they are finding ways to see the movie in China itself, and that's a good thing. And I'm sure the word's getting around.
Do you have any more projects in the works for the future?
I'm working on several projects. Given everyone takes a long time. For example, I'm working on a film about how a couple of Chinese-American engineers in Silicon Valley actually managed to bypass the billion-dollar Great Firewall of China, from their garage. So this is also a true story. I'm working on a film about Chinese human rights lawyers who have been persecuted by the regime for their sole crime of defending their clients. So these are some of the stories I've been working on.
So when you get ready to do the movies to be released, let us know. We'll get you back on the show so we can mark and promote that one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming.
Your work is great.
Yeah,
and
we love
thank
your movie.
Thank you so much for enlightening me, because honestly, I mean, I know that it's bad there, but when you really see it firsthand, it's very enlightening.
And you said that you lightened it down a little bit, so it's even worse than what's in the movie. So if people are really getting torn apart literally in China for going against the CCP, and that has to be exposed. I want to thank you for doing that, and we'll get the information out. We'll pump the movie. We've been doing that all week. And I want to thank you for coming on, and I want you to come back again, and I'm going to send you a copy of this radio show so you can mark and promote that too if you need to.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Leon Lee. He is the director for Unsilenced, a very important movie that's playing in the theaters in here in South Florida. There's a couple of theaters in Davie, and there were others. You got to look it up. You go to the website of Unsilenced and get the listing of the movies. I urge everyone to watch it. And this is very important because what's happening in China is going to happen here. And we don't get
it's merciful there, what they're doing to those people.
Yeah, it's going to happen here. It's already happening in with the
J6. We need Trump back in the White House. We need to, like, you know, strength. Peace with strength here. Chinese were coming in here anyway since back, you know, with the Clinton. So they're infiltrating their garbage in here in the States.
Yeah.
And in Canada, so.
Yeah, I have to give credit where credit is due for all those people in China that are actually bypassing the censorship and actually going to the firewall and actually going into.
Yeah, Black Hats. Wow.
And get in and watch the movie, number one. But number two is signing that website that Mr. Lee was talking about, the CCP, because if you do that and you get caught, it's a death sentence for you.
Lee credit because he puts his life in harm's way. That's what he's doing because I'm sure they follow it.
He's making it
all over the world.
Now, we got to get some breaking news earlier. We just got that a little while ago. You know what's going on in Canada with those truckers and everything, and they're doing everything. Trudeau, even though he's technically escaped, but he still has power until eventually he'll be kicked out. He ordered his Gestapo agents to shut the gas stations down, the diesel down, to stop the freedom truckers to come into Ottawa and Quebec and all the other places. So they're trying to do that. And so a lot of gas station owners and stuff are defying Trudeau for freedom and pumping the gas anyway. And so that's what this is. But also, the Minneapolis, Minnesota, right now, the tens of thousands of truckers that actually came in to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and got rid of the government over there, the mayor and everything, they all escaped out and reclaimed Minneapolis as a freedom city. So we'll see what that is. That's happening.
Where's Mike Lindell?
He may be around there, but I think Ilhan Omar is about to go bye-bye. I heard there were rumors today that AOC was retiring. I think she's doing that because she wants to run for Senate. Also, state representative in Brooklyn just switched to become a Republican. And Republican just picked up a seat in the New York State State Assembly, so that's one more for the good guys. They're trying to realign districts redo districting and stuff like that. New York lost one or two because people are escaping communism into another state. And so they're doing redistricting, and they violate the state constitution. So now they got to go through that again. But they were trying to set up a district to try and phase out a Republican congressional district in Staten Island and part of Brooklyn. And De Blasio sees a handwriting on the wall, so he's trying to get in there. And he did exploratory committee to see if he's running for Congress. But nobody wants a comment. After what he did destroying New York City, I don't think he'll get any kind of
nobody
votes.
Nobody wanted him as president. Nobody wanted him as governor.
Yeah,
nobody wants him.
No, that's
home.
What that is.
Hang out with the wife. Go away.
Also, a bus, a New York City bus was shot at driving around, and they had to stop that. Nobody got hurt, but the bus got full of bullets.
Well, I have a question. Why are truck drivers being mandated to wear a mask when nobody else is in their cab with them while they're driving?
That's the Communist Act, because that's Trudeau.
Because
and
that's
Biden,
dangerous, because you know what will happen?
They can pass out.
And well, you know what will happen?
Crash.
And you know what could happen?
Boom. Yeah, big explosion.
Yeah, those trucks, it's dangerous. Shoot, it's dangerous enough. When
like
they don't have a mask on, and the weather's bad, and it's winter. What's wrong with these people?
How about cars? Single drivers in a car driving with air conditioning in a car down here in Florida.
And wear a mask.
And wear a mask.
Why are they wearing
a mask? And then they want to know why they pass out.
I want to know. It's retarded.
First of all, masks don't work anyway. It never did. Even the
but
even
by
the,
yourself, who are you giving COVID to?
Nobody.
What,
the
to
point,
yourself?
This is, okay, this is right out of Skolinski, right out of the CDC.
It doesn't make any sense anyway.
It's control. This whole thing is control. Even the CDC said that the masks don't work. And most countries are now getting away from all the mandates, the ending mandates. Great Britain.
Oh, they're not ending it. You know when he brought up the topic about that they did a wag the dog about the Falun Gong, about the peace, the Buddhist.
Yeah.
It was a fake thing.
Yeah,
made me think of Hillary.
Yeah, same thing.
It was a wag the dog.
Yeah, I remember she was went to the Baltics or something.
She didn't
and
go
she came
anywhere.
In. And she went in there and she said she got off the plane, she was caged. Now that, in other words, it was two girls with flowers. It was dumb. This is what they
dumb.
Are. These are people. It's
so
crazy.
What do you think is going to happen? You told me Kamala's being, whatever, sent her merry way. And who's coming in as VP?
Look.
Hillary.
Look,
and then Biden's going to be gone because he's going to be laid out like Foster on the lawn. Okay,
look,
and Hillary's going to be the president.
No, he's not going anywhere.
I'm telling you. This is the woman who did the dossier.
Yeah, we know
who
that.
Who did the 33,000 emails and lied. And she's
and
still not in jail. I am telling you, don't underestimate
that's why everybody, every
the power
time.
Of Hillary. Shoot, even Bill is afraid of her.
That's why everybody and every rally says when they mention Hillary, they always chant, lock her up, lock her up. Because that's what they want, and that's what we need. And we need to start having substantive justice. So we need justice for everybody in the playing field.
Justice
is fine, but not
here in Broward. All over the country is bad.
Yeah.
Come
no,
on.
It's just one.
No rule tastings.
Yeah, well, anyway.
When Obama first came in as president, what were his words? No rules.
Yeah, he's saying fundamental change in the country.
We're
going to
pass the bill, and then we'll find out what's in it.
Yeah, well, okay, the sad news is that for the Democrats is that, or the Communists, I call them, is that they no longer have the majority in the Senate because the Senate in New Mexico had a stroke, and he's out of office right now. So that gives them 49 and 50 Republicans, 49 senators. So Republicans temporarily have the majority in the Senate.
Oh, I wouldn't be all excited about that.
All right.
I wouldn't be that excited. Look what's there.
Well, anyway, talking about politics a little bit, we have a gentleman that's running in Palm Beach County that belongs to
Jupiter.
I believe it's Jupiter, is that looking for to defund the, that actually is looking to defund the police.
Really?
And so.
What happens if his home gets robbed? What happens if somebody breaks in?
You call a social worker. This guy's name is Jim Karitsky. He's a career politician, needs to hit the road. He is 21 years in office, spending and taxes way up, voted to defund the police. Kurofsky has already served on the Jupiter Town Council for 21 years. That's not enough for him. He's running again, this time for mayor. And Jim Kerensky's over 2 decades on the council, we got out of control growth, huge tax and budget increases, record-setting government growth. Kurofsky voted to cut public safety positions, reduce police funding, and deny police officers promised overtime pay. We got a guest coming on Wednesday the 9th by the name of Annie Marie Delgado, and she is the president, national president of the Conservative Watch USA, and she'll be in at 7 o'clock. That's national president of Conservative Watch USA. And Annie will be talking about this gentleman here that wants to defund the police. Running
and
for
if you're interested
Jupiter.
In learning more about her, her website is conservativewatchusa.com.
And,
look it up. Go read about it. It's important. And enlighten yourself of being a conservative, the real true conservative, patriots, sons of liberty. Don't tread on me.
On the 13th, we're going to have our Valentine's Day special, and you call in.
Call in, we'll play a tune. You want to read us to read a poem, or you got some nice letter you want to tell the person you love, or wish your person that you love a happy Valentine's Day. Our pleasure to do it.
And then we got coming up on the...
A great musician, Jeremy Parsons, on the 16th. And then on the 20th, we have Shadow Proof with Jamie Lee Curtis and Gary. And that's going to be a great show. Great.
And
we'll keep you posted about the future because we don't like to get that far ahead.
Right.
And
well, we are working with, we sent an invitation to Lauren Barbett. She was on one of our friends' show. Mike Huckabee show, and we wanted to invite her to come on with
a true conservative woman who speaks her mind, stands up for her rights, like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
We have two great, real great shows that really, really took off and have been trending. One was our debate with Rabbi Barry Silver. It's still trending. And same thing with Nick Scalzi and Capital Punishment. And that thing is fine and awesome. And with today's little guest with Leon Lee and Unsilenced, that should be up there too. And coming shortly, working on the exact date, will be Denise D'Souza and 2,000 Mules. And we're working on that. We're trying to mix... movies that have meanings to it, educating people and stuff like that. Some political shows, a lot of entertainment and fun. And when trying, because we could continue to do political all the time, you go crazy.
It's
and
too early anyway. The primaries aren't happening yet. And usually, if you do it too early, you know, they don't peak. We want to help them peak to win.
But if you have a hot course, something that needs to be explained, we'll gladly get you on. We'll set up everything. And we're working on to have a big surprise call in just for a few minutes if we can, sometime in the next couple weeks. The real president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, will work with his people, Mark Meadows and others, to make sure that we can get this done in a proper manner. Because you only have that type of show, we may expand it depending on what we're doing. But we're working on that, so that's the key. But the bottom line is, it's all about us having fun, and the same time getting the word out, and the chat room's always open, phone lines are always open. We didn't give out the number this time because we're very interested. I get the information now, what's happening by the CCP and Communist China, and happening in that movie with Unsilenced, which I urge everyone to hear. We got less than 5 minutes left on the show. You got anything to add?
I am very thankful that Leon Lee came on our show and we had an opportunity to speak with him and expose the cruelty that's going on in a country on human beings because they want to control you, which is ridiculous. You get more with honey than you do with vinegar, okay? And it's cruel. And I would like to see the regime fall down. I would. That was horrendous seeing, watching them put an electrocution band around a young man's head and just fry him to death and kill him. It was just...
And that's tempered down scene.
It was
a lot
horrible.
Worse. Or dismembering a woman.
It was worse than Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Okay?
So.
It was just horrible. The people need to be set free. They need to rise up. And she needs to see that you can be a better leader with kindness.
She knows how to do that. It's all about power. But the thing is...
And Biden don't help.
CCP owns China. Owns Biden. They don't literally do own him.
Yeah, but we never... You know what? We didn't really get into the topic of the fentanyl and the drug,
and
the drug trapping. And I guess he didn't want to
touch that. That was the part of the story in the movie.
No, it wasn't.
But
it is something for him to think about.
Yeah.
Because they're killing millions of people here in our country.
Right.
They are ODing from, and don't even know they're going to be ODing because
anyway,
they're putting
that drug in. Anyway, we're coming down to the end of the show. I want to thank Leon Lee, the director of On Silence, for coming on the show. It's very informative. We got the information out. I urge everyone to go see the movie On Silence. It's played in most theaters. You just got to look it up.
Being played in Davie. I want to say thank you to everyone, and I'll be back on Wednesday. I'm sure everybody's looking forward to hearing me speak. And this is Scarlett Butler saying have a great night. God bless America. And God bless the people in China who will stand up for their rights. Have a great night. Good night.
Good night, everybody. I want to thank Leon Lee for coming on. I want to thank Scarlett for coming on. I want to thank these people, that these kids that stood up and for freedom, getting the information out. And it's a true story on silence, and everybody must see it. God bless you all. See you Wednesday. Have a great evening. God bless you all.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.